Whenever you're learning something brand new, whenever you're stepping out of your comfort zone, you're gonna meet your ego. You're gonna meet your fears. You're gonna meet your feelings of inadequacy. You're gonna meet your limitation, which is all self-imposed, by the way, right? You're gonna meet everything that has been scaring the living crap out of you, because that's the journey, right? Yep. You want to step up and move beyond where you've been before. That means you've gotta be someone you've never been before, doing things you've never done before, having and doing and saying all these things. Like, it's all connected, so it's new.
You are listening to Hooked on Startups, where every week you'll hear from some of the most talented, inspiring, and successful entrepreneurs who share their real life stories, how they overcame challenges and failures, and how they mastered success. Get ready for some of the best business tips, tricks and tactics, and some frank, unscripted discussions. Here's your host, Matthew Sullivan.
Today, I am absolutely delighted to be joined by Melissa Moniz. Melissa, welcome to Hooked on Startups.
Thank you so much, Matthew, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let me tell you a bit about Melissa. So you are an international speaker. You're a social impact entrepreneur, a master neuro-linguistic programming coach, a master hypnosis coach. You're a certified sales and marketing consultant, a four-time author. You've mentored over 10,000 clients worldwide in business and lifestyle strategy, and you're the founder of Magnetic Sales Pros. So what have you been doing with your life?
It's been quite the journey. And might I add co-founder, because my own personal evolution in entrepreneurial venture and the adventure of life itself, you know, I can't say it's been a one-woman show. I've had tons of help and support. So yeah, now after 16 years of developing other people and creating training and program maps and just helping other people through specific training, it's been a beautiful ride. You know, and the funny thing is that oftentimes whatever it is that we teach or that we bring on into our lives, you know, what they say is that you can't help but, you know, get your hands a little dirty in the process, right? As you teach others how to cook in the kitchen, your hands will get dirty too. So yeah, that's kind of been the whirlwind to get to this point, you know, and sometimes I hear back all the list, if you will, and I don't realize the list of accomplishments, if you will. I don't always realize, because for me, it's just been a journey of saying, all right, what can I do to get the most out of life? What can I do to be of impact myself? How can I make someone else's life better? How can I make my life better? How can I get the most out of my own potential? And like, these are the questions that would go through my mind from a very young age, very, very young age. And they still go through my mind. I would also say that, you know, part of the passion behind building a consulting and training empire is because it's driven by what it can do for people. And I'm also a huge proponent around the impact that business can have, social impact, right? The amount of jobs that are created for people, the services and products that we create to give people more enjoyment out of life, less stress, right? Make more money, do more things, get more out of their lives. Business is a powerful vehicle to develop people through. So Magnetic Sales Pros, my sixth business to date and co-founded with myself and my business partner, Gerb Bogle, who's going to be here with us in spirit, if you will, right? It really has been a driving force to say, you know, we know the power of coaching and mentoring and training when it comes to developing people in business, because business can then have that massive impact to provide more for others. So yeah, that's how we got here. That's a little snippet of me in a nutshell, plus MS Pros and plus that adventure.
But what the interesting thing really is how people start, because to do what you're doing takes an enormous amount of energy, and it's against the flow, because the normal thing to do when you go into business is to follow everybody else and to chase the profits. And it's the scarcity mentality versus the abundance mentality, where I don't want to share what I'm doing with you. At what point did you decide that this would be the journey for you?
You know what? That's actually a fantastic question. And there have been so many points where I've made that decision over and over again. And you'll often hear me saying that even though you make a decision, you're actually faced with that decision every day. So there is one particular memory, though, that I can recall when I was 18 and I had started my first year in my banking career doing corporate selling for financial packages and then retail banking packages as well. So selling credit cards, putting together packages for individual clients, and then moving my way up to serving business clients. So I was 18 and I am half Chinese. And so my face looks like a freaking kid. And, you know, I'm up against people who are in their profession for 20 years, 25 years, professionals in banking that know what the heck they're doing. And yeah. So automatically I'm already against the flow entering into an industry where I'm one of the youngest paid professionals in my industry at this time. It was unheard of. I actually started applying to the bank when I was 17. Anyhow, I'm 18, I'm entering this corporate world, and yes, there's this pushback a little bit, that concept that you're bringing up there, where people are fending for themselves, and in a sales role, at my time, my tender age, I wasn't thinking competition though. My only thought in my head was, my role is to get these products and services in front of my clients. Yeah. They've given me a quota, they've given me an objective. I happen to love the whole corporate brand and image of, I'll say the name, it was TD Bank.
Yeah.
You know, I love the whole, I love being an extension and a part of this whole corporate environment. I wanted to extend myself into the work that I was doing. So I wasn't thinking about, well, what is Mary doing? Or what's Joe doing over there? That's not what I'm thinking about. It was every opportunity in front of me. How can I help this person in front of me? And how can I create a wow experience? And how can I have them get so excited about what we've done today that they're going to want to tell their friend over here and their aunt over there and their business partner, and they're going to bring more business to me. I just want to help people. That was going on in my head over and over and over again. So maybe it was a little bit of naivety as well. I wasn't even aware that competition was alive and well in that corporate environment.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking about it. What I've now seen in my own personal experience though, is because of that mentality and because of that approach on a consistent basis, I've then, my career between 18 years old and 24 years old, I was consistently 400% over my quotas, and I was a champion club winner year after year after year. And my managers basically brought me into training because they kept asking me, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Right? It's like, out of nowhere, you're this young buck, you have way less experience than every other of our financial peoples. You're working on a part-time basis and producing four times more than a full-time person. Like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
And I attribute it to that approach and that mentality and that level of intentional service that we now teach and promote through our training company.
But were you aware at the time what the secret to your success was? Or did you feel that you were just doing something naturally, and did you just assume that everyone else was doing the same thing?
Okay. So yes, on the side part there, I did assume that most successful people were doing it, or people that at least had the same value alignment that I had. And I did have a little bit of a secret edge because I started working at the tender age of 18 with my family's business. And that's what was role modeled for me through our family values in business. So it was really interesting because from 8 years old until 16, I was working in an antique market with my stepfather and my mother. And so I had, that's 8 years. That's 8 years of preconditioning of talking with countless people from all kinds of walks of life, looking for a variety of services and products that we provided at the antique market. And in a time where internet was not thriving, Costco's and these big box stores were not available yet. Like, I got direct experience of human interaction, of how people's minds work, how the emotional interactions, the emotional intelligence that you need to have to get people to just know, like, and trust you. And remember, I mean, I'm selling like antiques and like, you know, powerful products or even collectibles or things that are important to other people, but I don't even know what the heck I'm selling. I'm going into the process of like, okay, I'm going to find out what's important to people. And I was doing this between the age of 8 to 16. So yes, I did have a little bit of inkling that what I was doing was very effective because I already had, you know, firsthand experience for 8 years before in my family's business.
At what point did you begin to realize that this is something? Did you find that with TD Bank at the age of 24, so you were there for 6 years?
It was about eight years.
So did you find, I mean, which is a great career. I mean, it's a long career with a particular, with one entity. But at what point did you think, was there a glass ceiling that you hit, or did you begin to think that, what was the motivation to move, and what was the next move from TD Bank?
Yeah, great question as well. So I started getting motivated to move when I started realizing that the corporate ladder in TD Bank was going to bring me to the CEO of a bank. And I realized very quickly that even though I could learn a ton from going through another maybe 6 years or 10 years, going through, you know, perhaps even their mortgage side of things or their corporate retail banking or behind the scenes in marketing or HR and corporate training even, I could have gone that route, but the top tier would have been the CEO of a bank at the end of the day. And I started getting really interested in the power of people's mindsets, in the power of neuroscience, in the power of emotional intelligence, and just really tapping into personal potential. And so the motivation started to happen when I was questioning, number one, the career advancement opportunities at TD. And then secondly, my own personal growth advancement. What was it that I wanted to represent? And what did I want to do in my personal and professional career? And when I realized that I didn't want to be the CEO of the bank, and when I realized that I wasn't going to grow necessarily more so as a personal and a professional person myself, I said that the next step is probably, you know, begin the stages of starting my own business.
And this is a challenge that a lot of people face, which is why I wanted to explore this, because people see success, and a lot of people don't really understand why they're successful. So that's one thing I want to explore is the importance of having someone to talk about this and to act as a reference point.
Yes.
But the other thing is this process of moving out of your full-time job with all its protections, with the salary and the healthcare benefits, and making that leap into the unknown to run your own business. And how did you transition? Was it a leap, or was it something that you decided to do over time?
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, I'm the daughter of two immigrant parents, and it's just two different cultures. And I'm also a very passionate Leo. So I often leap. I often leap into fires. Right? So that's just part of my personality. That's who I am. So in many ways, I've done countless leaps of faith, as well as leaps of just pure abrasive naivety and just being silly and crazy and being me. So the process, though, yes, there's still some calculated risks, though, that I have to go through, because I, as much as I will just leap in and just go for it and trust my gut, there is some thinking that goes involved in that process. And when I was deciding, even back then, you know, leaving a corporate career, leaving all the benefits, leaving all this particular security, if you will, I started to ask myself then, okay, if I don't do this, what's going to happen? If I don't do it now, what's going to happen? What's going to happen if I do this maybe 6 months down the road or 12 months down the road? What opportunities are facing me right now? What happens if I don't take this risk, right? So I started just basically painting a variety of scenarios for myself, because I do a lot of introspection and a lot of inner work. So I do know how myself works. However, I don't always know. I don't have a crystal ball like anybody else, right? I'm still only human. There are still things that I just can't see until I actually make the steps, until I make decisions, until I just go through the process. So for me, I was just making sure that I was going through as many scenarios that I could possibly imagine. And then after that, I started asking myself, okay, what resources do I actually have? And what resources I'm going to have to bring in? Who's going to back and support me? Who's going to back and support the business? And so I started building my resource inventory. And then from there, I said, okay, now I got to reverse engineer my exit plan. Because since I'm not really 100% sure if I'm going to match or exceed my current income, I'm just going to put some targets in front of me, pretend I'm like in my sales role, but treat it for my own business. So as much as I knew, I kept taking action based on what I know. And this is how I filled the gaps. And back then, I was not nearly as willing as I am now today. But back then, I would fill the gaps by resourcing with people, right? So I would think about, okay, who's done this business before? All right, I'm going to go talk to some people who've already done it, been there, done that. Yep. It's incredible how much people want to help. If you just ask them questions and help them realize that they're important to your journey, then they start offering all kinds of like free insight, wisdom, pointing me to other resources, right? After all these years, though, I'm getting much better at doing this. But even back then, that was a huge way to fill the gaps of like, I don't know, right? Something that really gets people stuck in any type of transition is when they start convincing themselves that they don't know. And that's a huge, huge risk and failure in anybody's process of starting a business or doing something brand new or getting out of their comfort zone, is they start convincing themselves of non-truths. And the truth is that we're all connected. The truth is that we're all here to help each other. We all have a core inner good intention, but it's up to us to pull that out. So yes, it takes a lot of energy and there is a process, but it's like, it's being mindful that you're not just on this journey by yourself. Does that make sense?
It does completely. But my question really is, how much of that engineering was done after the event? Because if I'm speaking personally here, I mean, what I tend to do is leap first and then try and figure it out afterwards.
Yeah, guilty.
and then people ask me, so how did you do this? And I say, well, you know, I thought about it, I planned it out. which actually isn't the truth. The truth is,
yeah,
I'd leapt first. You know what I mean? And yeah, you just go, you get this. So my question really is, how important is it to burn your bridges?
Oh, interesting. Okay. So how important is it to burn your bridges? Now, one thing that comes up in my mind, though, is that burning bridges often has a negative connotation.
Well, no. So there's no going back.
No. Oh, gotcha. No going back.
You know what I mean? I mean, burn the boats, burn the bridges. In other words, you make the decision, you burn the bridges, there's no going back. You don't leave yourself an easy exit.
Oh, okay. And I often do that to myself, actually, because one thing that I've known for sure is that without full commitment to whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's a relationship, a business plan, doesn't matter what stage you're at, concept to implementation, if you're not committed, things don't really come to fruition in the way that you want it to. Things are hard. There's no flow, basically. Yeah. So you asked me one question, though, which is how much reverse engineering? And then the second question, though, is also, you know, how important is it to burn the bridges? In reality, yes, I'm the kind of person, and I'm still the kind of person where I'll leap first. Thankfully, because of lots of experience and many years of experience, the reverse engineering process can be a little bit quicker. So I'm still able to step into the, hey, here's the leap of faith. And okay, every Sunday before the week, I'm going to do a little bit of a thinking and planning here, a little bit more than I did the week before. You know, I think there's a time and space for strategy, and there's a time and space for just pure action. And I think the blending of the two, which I'm finally getting better at, it's not easy at the beginning, finally getting better at it, it's that nice fine-tuning blending that you can only get better, though, through rinse and repeating through a process.
But I think that one of the critical components, or one of the really important things about being an entrepreneur, is this ability to make that leap, to actually do something. Yeah. And there is this whole point of analysis paralysis where you can overthink something. And so how important is it when you're talking to people that you mentor and you assist, mm-hmm, to tell them to trust their gut feeling?
Yes, 100%. That's pretty much so, especially in coaching and training. There's a whole beginning process called the pre-framing, where we pretty much preempt and prepare them ahead of time, letting them know, by the way, whenever you're going through these kinds of processes, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Expect this to happen and expect that not to happen. And because of all that, this is what's going to give you the successful way of being, right? We let them know ahead of time that this is what's going to go on. And I do the same thing to myself, which is, remember, whenever you're learning something brand new, whenever you're stepping out of your comfort zone, you're going to meet your ego. You're going to meet your fears. You're going to meet your feelings of inadequacy. You're going to meet your limitation, which is all self-imposed, by the way, right? You're going to meet everything that has been scaring the living crap out of you, because that's the journey. Right? Yeah. If you want to step up and move beyond where you've been before, that means you've got to be someone you've never been before, doing things you've never done before, having and doing and saying all these things. Like, it's all connected. So it's new. And let's be honest with ourselves, right? The human species, do we love change? Do we love to, you know, to grow and to push through and push boundaries and, you know, be the odd one out and stand out and differentiate? Do we actually love that intrinsically? You know? No,
no.
No. You know, and I know, right? Just live some life and you've got that proof for yourself. So with that being said, though, we also know, and we've all bought into this idea, that the good life is on the other side, right? Or the grass is greener on that other side. And I always say the grass is not greener on the other side. The grass is greener where you water it. And by the way, you're standing right here, right now. This is where you are. Right? So from there, now let's connect it with the action piece. After I've pre-framed and prepped them and let them know, and even for myself too, I say, okay, great. Today, what's the one action that's going to make the difference? That's it. Right? And then people constantly talk about productivity and high performance. And I'm like, yeah, people who are high performers and in high productivity over the course of a year, they're just doing something a little more often than you on a daily basis.
Yes.
They're not radically different than me and you. They're just doing a few more things or a few less things. Right? Habits make and break our success. These little things on a constant daily basis, that's how you get these high performance. And that's how you get this, you know, feeling of achievements and success and all of that. Right. But when we really scale back, it's like, no, this is, we have to prep you. And then we also have to be really real and say, okay, action has to happen today as well. I can't stay in thinking land all day long.
there must have been some sort of point where, again, rewind, 8-year, hugely successful in the bank. You decided that you wanted to spread your wings. Did you have an idea at that point what you wanted to do?
Yes. So because I am a huge proponent of taking, you know, some action every day, now I call it inspired action. So not action out of force and not action beyond your gut feeling. It's actually action that makes the most sense, both logically and in alignment with who you are, right? Based on what you say you're going to build.
Yeah.
So back then, what I said I was going to build was I was going to create a resource center and a school to train adults who have never danced before to learn the art and dance of salsa dancing. Now, I did not come up with this idea on my own. Because back in the antique market days, when I was between the age of 8 and 16, we used to listen to this music that I had no idea even had a dance associated with it. We were just attracting more business to our people because I said, hey, our clientele are international. We got people coming from Caribbean, from Jamaica, from Mexico, and from some parts of Canada here. So let's put on some of this music. And my mom's like, yeah, that's a fantastic idea. Next thing you know, over the course of 8 weeks, we start bringing in droves of people who are like, I want to go to that stand right there. Like, the music's amazing and they've got great people. And I started thinking, okay, that's fantastic. So a seed was planted years and years before, like 10 years before.
Yeah.
And I'm in university. I'm doing great in the TD Bank space. I'm taking business courses. I'm in the entrepreneurial program, debating whether or not I'm going to move into the human resources program. I got like all kinds of stuff going on up here. And I'm walking down the hallway and I see this red poster in the hallway. Okay. And I'm kind of in that like weird inspirational funk. I'm like, ah, I'm doing so much, but I'm not inspired. This program sucks. I want to run my own business. Like, I'm getting tired of the bank. And I'm thinking, should I even be feeling these things? Like, what's wrong with me?
No. I get it. This is that's the authentic self sort of, you know, coming out.
That's right.
So you saw the poster.
Perfect, right? We're not all perfect. And I'm going through this crap in my head. And then lo and behold, this red poster, you know, in the foyer of my business, hall. I go closer and I'm thinking like, what is that? Like, it says salsa, $4. And there's this like weird Microsoft Word picture of a guy and a girl dancing. I'm like, this is a cheap ass flyer. Like, what is this? But something inside of me, like my, something inside of me started feeling really hooked.
Yeah.
And I have felt that feeling many times before, right? Some call it intuition, some call it the gut check, whatever.
Yes.
And so I took that flyer and I followed the instructions. I went to this salsa class and there it was. I'm listening to music that is very familiar to my ears.
Amazing. Yeah.
Seeing something that I've never seen before. And my heart was caught. And I said, bingo, here's my next business. I'm going to start a dance school. And it just filtered into me. Like, it was like fast data. I can't describe it. It was very, very fast. And I knew right then and there. And as a kid and as a child, I had always dreamed about being a speaker, being on TV, being on camera. And I had no idea how everything was going to connect. In that moment, everything connected.
Yeah.
Get a load of that, right?
No. I don't know, because I've been there before where it's almost like the universe is giving you this gift. But it's amazing how many people don't see that, though. So as you say, a lot of people think that the grass is greener on the other side. But I think what you saw was that ability to see what was right in front of you and right see it for the value that it was.
Yeah.
And so continue. I'm hooked on this.
Oh, amazing. Fantastic. Well, and there's the magnetism, right? There's that magnetic storytelling piece that's so powerful in sales, in business, right? Where it's about really connecting. And that's what happened for me. So in a visceral experience, a visceral level, I said, I have got to bring this to people's lives, because one of the challenges that I saw consistently, financial challenges of all the portfolios that I got the privilege to work with. Okay. Yeah, by the way, those 10,000 clients that I put in my accolades, that doesn't even include the thousands of people that I served through the bank.
Brilliant.
Right.
Amazing.
In an 8-hour day, I'm seeing 20 different people every single day. And then I'm also helping other business cases. And it was intense. It was a lot of experience. And I got to see something. I got to see a challenge. People would then, you know, revealed to me the story of their lives through their numbers inside their bank accounts. Things come up in the closed door scenario where people are really vulnerable, talking about their money challenges. Okay. I got to see a side of people where I was like, I wonder, there's so much financial worry. How can I bring more joy and life and light into people's lives? Because this is crazy, right? Like, these money problems are freaking crazy. I would feel the pain in my heart every freaking day. That's another motivating factor, right? If you want to know how to get motivated, find out what people's problems are and you better believe you'll feel something. It'll get you motivated. And so the idea for the dance school and the training company that was basically training adults like me who never had any dance experience. I started dancing at the tender age of 18, which is, again, another unheard of thing to do. You can't start dancing. And it's like, you know what? Watch me. Stop yes. telling me what I can't do. And let's talk about what we can do. Because let me tell you, dance is an amazing, amazing life experience that everybody needs to have in their life. Yes. Right? So that power of conviction, because I experienced it. And I know the way that things can get into someone's body and electrify them and get them connected. And you're speaking a whole other language on the dance floor that goes beyond language. Now I'm thinking like, holy moly, world peace, right? Like my beautiful young mind is like world peace, right? Better communication, great relationships. Hey, more sex, right? Enjoyable sex, more money in the bank. Oh my gosh, let's do this. And sure enough, the course of our training company in our school teaching 6,000 students over that time frame, right? Which again was built organically through the abundant flow of people that was there right in front of me on the campus of Ryerson University, downtown Toronto, Ontario. I'm like, I'm from Burlington, which is 2 hours that away, right? Where are my customers going to come from? Look at the opportunities right in front of you, right there at school. So this whole thing is just, you know, I'm hoping that my stories are exemplifying the theories that I talk about and teach about.
I just see this whole thing where you have this passion, but you have the conviction and the guts, the courage to follow it. Because there are so many people that would have that same feeling as you as they stepped into that dance hall, but would do nothing about it because their mind would convince them that they need to stay at the bank, they need to continue on that path, they need to play safe. And you're not being reckless in doing this. You're just saying, well, look, I have faith and confidence in my own abilities. This is something that I love doing. So I'm going to do it. And you made a huge success out of it. And I'm sure that there were enormous challenges every day because you make it sound like it was easy. And I'm sure it was that there were moments where you were just staring into space thinking, oh my God, what have I done?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, hey, I'd be a liar to tell you that it was a freaking rosy pathway the whole way through. It wasn't. You know, I had challenges where I was put in front of situations where I'm dealing with my own inadequacies. Again, I feel like my theme for me, it's a different theme for everybody, but my main theme has been self-worth and self-value, even though I have so much self-conviction, right? It's an interesting dual thing that would be very present in my own mindset. And I also think that the main challenge is basically just looking yourself in the mirror and asking yourself the hard questions. And most people are too lazy to do that, right? I love people. But I am saying, hey, we're a little lazy sometimes because it's work to answer the hard questions.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to bring on to another thing, which is your book, Live Your Passion, and how that came out of what you're doing. But also the value of knowing what those questions are, because a lot of people that make the leap find themselves stranded from everything that they know, which is the support systems around their work. They don't get their salary. They don't get the health benefits. Yeah. They're following their passion, but everything else evaporates. And how important is it, do you think? Because this is the business that you're now in. You're now saying, look, I've done this. I've learned the hard way. And tell me more about how important you think it would have been to you to have someone as a mentor at this early stage, or did you have a mentor even when you were doing this? When you made the leap to set up your salsa studio, did you have a whole army of people?
Not yet, or
were you literally on your own?
Literally on my own with one co-founder, my mother, my brother, my sister, my dad. I should say my stepdad. Right. I had family support, and I had the one business partner. And then I had basically a network to build on my Ryerson University campus, right? Back then, I had no idea the value of mentorship. But what I did know was the value of asking questions to the right people. So that's how my way of being was. And I didn't realize back then that I was seeking out mentorship. Then, before this training and consulting company, actually, the fifth business was my mentoring and consulting company. So mentorship is a little different than coaching and training, because I find mentorship is the encompassing of all of that, whereas coaching tends to single out the skill sets piece. Training is like training over time and implanting information into people's way of being as well. Like, there's nuances that make the difference. So for me personally, I had no idea the value of coaching or mentoring or someone else showing me the way or a way or inspiring me or encouraging me. So I would tell everyone and anyone though, anyone who's willing to have the guts to put themselves out there, I would say you also have to be, get ready for the personal ride that's going to come with it. Because to build a business, leading people, getting the most out of people, bringing people's potential to the forefront, making a profit, making a brand, all of that, this is a huge undertaking every single time. And so every single time, the business owner, the business creator constantly goes through their own transformational process, constantly. Yes. And many people don't know that, because on the outside, it's like, I'm going to start a business. I'm going to work for myself. I'm going to have my own hours and I'm going to be my own boss. And it's like, oh, frick, man, there's a lot of responsibility in that. I don't want that responsibility, right? It's like, what? I have to do that too. I don't want to do that. Oh, this is not what, and it's like, yeah, but that's what you signed up for. And nobody's really actually kind of going into the in-depths of explaining what's really involved, right? And yes, I am a storyteller. So many times I will paint the picture to make it seem like it was so easy, you know? And the reality was, is that yes, for the most part, living my passion has been easy. Some of the things that haven't been easy though, is those times and those moments where I've turned a blind eye, too passionate, right? Or too focused, and I've missed out on opportunities and relationships. You know, I've missed out on, yeah, some big deals too, because I was too proud. Or I've missed out on personal growth opportunities. But here's the cool thing. As long as you're alive, there's always more time, right?
Absolutely.
And so that's the perspective I take on. I say, you know what? I don't have this. I might not have known back then the value of mentorship and guidance now, but now I do. And because I know better now, I'm going to behave better. I'm going to do better. And that's another thing that I find is a quality, that relentlessness, that commitment to personal growth. That's something that I want to see more of in the upcoming generations. And that isn't taught in the current generations because, you know, there's so many luxuries,
exactly.
Right? So many luxuries. The reason why we had 6,000 students in my campus, in our school from the campus, was because I didn't have online generators, like online sales generators. I didn't have any salespeople. I didn't have any of that stuff. I had myself. Right. And then now looking back though, I'm like, okay, great. Now I can walk those processes back and forth a million times over and I can properly delegate the right people to do those things now that I know that it can be done that way. So yeah, the process is so cool. And I think I just feel blessed and fortunate though that I started at a young age. And this is another reason why I tell people, just start. Just start.
that's absolutely critical. So Magnetic Sales Pros, which is your current business, would you say, is that the sort of the culmination of all of the learnings that you've made through the six businesses that you've, you know, been very successful at, you know, since you left your job at TD Bank?
Yeah, absolutely. The first reflection is the power of collaboration, because this current business, it represents two things. Right? The first is the power of collaboration, where now I'm realizing, yes, it is possible for someone else to do and execute my vision better than me. That's possible. And it does happen. And I've experienced that. But ask me when I was 18, when I was like, no, this is my baby. This is my business. It's all about me. Like, I wouldn't have had the audacity to trust anyone else with my business. Now, though, I can honestly say, yes, I do trust people. In fact, my co-founder and I, we have that same vision for MS Pros, you know, really to take the best, build people from where they are, give them best the best. Second thing that MS Pros really, you know, culminates and summarizes is, yeah, the journey of becoming your personal best and having that reflect in every area of your life. Because how you do one thing is how you do everything, right? We are human beings. So as much as we think we are doing everything, oh, I'm so creative. No. Like, you have certain pathways. You are a certain person. There's a certain way you do things. Your unique blueprint of you has you doing things the same way, right? How you buy a toothbrush is the same way you buy a house. Okay. And in NLP, we can actually prove that. It's fascinating. Anyhow, so Magnetic Sales Pros is really bringing to the forefront the stuff that actually makes the difference across generations, across the board, across culture, across challenges, opportunities. It doesn't matter where you are. And the reason why I can say this with conviction is because many things are going to be changing. All people are always going to be willing to do business with people that they know, like, and they trust. And that is your personal magnetism, your ability to draw out somebody's best, and your ability to bring the best to the person gets you connected on that know, like, and trust vibe. Right? The no luck and trust platform or the environment, whatever word resonates with you, right? And the ability to connect with anybody, right? So that you can have the opportunity to bring them something better for their lives. And that is the process of selling. So Magnetic Sales Pros, our goal, our entire mission is to go out and create 1 billion Magnetic Sales Pros globally over the course of our 10-year span. And then from there, I'm not sure what's going to happen after 10 years because that's as far as I got the download. That's as far.
What is the critical thing? So what is the launch pad for someone where you say, I'm going to change the way you approach sales. You're doing it wrong. Listen to these people. No, because I'm sure most people do it wrong. They just vomit features, functions, benefits. There's no relationship building.
Right.
And I think of all the things we learn over the years, it's how to speak to people, how to identify that people have problems that they want solved. They don't want to hear about, you know, the bells and whistles that your thing has. So what is the biggest sort of takeaway, the biggest experience that you can tell to someone that by telling you the simple thing, it's going to change your life?
Excellent. Yeah. Fantastic question. And I mean, first and foremost, I will say, we never tell people that they're doing anything wrong, because that's suggesting that what they're doing is somehow messing things up or whatever. And in some cases, okay, yeah, there's the odd case where truly there really is like that element that we've got to just quote unquote fix. However, we come from the school of thought, if you will, that people are not inherently broken, okay? Because we come to this planet whole and complete, ready to live life, ready to just do what life has us to do. And then we exit at some point. So when we look at natural ways of being, we look at nature and we look at humanitarian way of being, we don't look at people and say, hey, you're broken, let's fix you. We don't look at people and say, we need to clean you up. God, you need some training. No, it's like, you're in business. The company owners have decided to provide something for people that's going to help people. Yeah. And you happen to be the messenger of this product. What you're doing is probably not wrong. However, it can be enhanced. It can be improved. You can expand and you can connect up to more resources than you had imagined before with our training, right? And so it's a very different perspective. It's really bringing people back to abundance. It's bringing people, you know, getting out of our limitations, our normal way of thinking, and saying, listen, by the way, selling is natural and you are probably naturally successful. We just need to point out where you're already strong. And then we're going to add and adapt these new tools and resources, which, by the way, will be timeless for you, right? You master these and it's timeless. It's timeless success. How do we know that? Because it's people dynamics. It's human interaction. It's beyond selling. It's beyond the metrics, right? And when people can think past that, it's phenomenal, right? We're operating on a whole other level. Make sense?
Is it almost like you're relearning what you did instinctively when you were 8 in the market? Is it that natural ability to communicate? Because when you're that age, you don't have this, you know what I mean? When you're that age, you don't have this agenda eating away in the back of your mind. You're naturally, you're talking to people, you're conversing, you're connecting, you know, this whole know, like, and trust thing. So it's funny. So did you feel like it's almost gone full circle where you've been through this process, you've come out the other side and you've developed the system that is based on the purity of human relationships. And that's what gives it its success.
Exactly.
Is that the sort of the magic, the secret sauce of Magnetic Sales Pros?
Yes, right there. And Matthew, I freaking love you because that, like, the fact that, first of all, you and I connect on many levels, right? And so that's how we even got to this point to be on the interview. So again, thank you. And it's because we connect on that level. And the fact that you just get that and to be able to articulate it that way, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's exactly what it was. Like, my co-founder and I, Gurb and I, have been through so many deliberate conversations about what's going to be the brand of MS Pros. And it brought us back to all these stories that I'm now so readily prepared to share with you today. Because it's actually, yes, we've been saying, since our process is reverse engineering, why not go back to the massive success timeframes and reverse engineer that? And by the way, that science is actually neuro-linguistic programming. And little did I realize back at 8, I didn't know it was called NLP. I was just using it instinctively. And so yes, people and human beings, we do have a natural purity that when we're younger, we are not bombarded by all the stuff that the world teaches us. We're being taught by what our internal wisdom is teaching us. And I just believe in this so deeply, not because it's, you know, fantastical and it sounds great, but because in a lived experience, I've been able to enjoy massive prosperity beyond just money prosperity. You know, to have people trust you and share with you things that they've never shared even with their spouses. That is like human connection on another level. To have people come back to you year after year. I've had six businesses and about 1,000 of my clients have been a part of all six businesses. And yes, they're all different businesses, right? Yes. So it's like one person has been able to say the life, they call it life cycles, right, of a client. Like I've had one client who's invested over $50,000 across six businesses, right? And they still call me on my birthday to tell me happy birthday. Like, what is this? This is loyalty on like exponential level. And I want businesses and people to have that, right? Because guess what? There's billions of people on the freaking planet, right? We just tweak you a little bit here and there and help you grow into the massive potential that you already are. Now we're up to something big here.
I think that's it too. I think so. It's really tapping into who you are. Is this search or this ability to recognize the value of your authentic self? Yeah. And then that leads you onto another journey where people unfortunately don't believe that they have any value in right. some cases. They believe that they will have value if they can exhibit certain behaviors. So if I come across as the sharp-suited, slick salesman, then I'll have value. But I mean, what you're saying with MSP really is that we'll teach you to get back to who you really are, because when you know, like, and trust yourself, then you will be able to communicate on an authentic level to other people, which will unlock this this whole universe where you're not forcing yourself, where you end up being so pleased with your abilities because it comes naturally, as if you were the 8-year-old in the market.
100%. And as we know, like Albert Einstein has taught us years over years in quantum physics, is that energy equals MC squared. Energy is everything. So the energy that we are bringing to the table, whether it's a professional space or personal space, by the way, it's all the same space, right? You're the same human walking around, going and showing up in the world. So wherever you go, by the way, there you are, right? Your energy that you're bringing to the world, you can't hide it. And I would tell that to you all the time. It's like, you know, I'm just going to point out the truth. And this is what's hilarious, you know, being 18 or 20, or even now, I'm 32 now. So as of 2017, if anyone wants to do the math, right? But it's like at these, it doesn't matter what age it was, it'd be so disarming for people to be faced with someone who was willing to see the best in them and also call them out when they weren't being their best. Like I still remember, and I just saw them. I mean, I frequent the same cities that I've done my banking career in, right? So one of those cities here in Ontario is Burlington. And so in Burlington, I still run into people that I used to serve when I was 18. Okay, case in point, this woman who had a son, right? I used to actually work with her son at a previous managerial experience. And so we developed this amazing relationship over time, right? And I just saw her again because she was working at a local store that I happened to go into. And I'm waiting there and I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen this woman in like 10, I haven't seen her in 16 years. Yes. And I step up and I say, hi, Mrs. C. Do you remember me? I used to work at the bank. Her face lit up like a Christmas tree and was like, oh my God, yes, I remember you. You know, you were the most personable. You are my favorite gal at that TD Bank. And she's just going off, right? Yes. And the whole line can hear. My boyfriend was with me too. So he heard and he was like, oh my gosh, right? So it was just this moment. And I said, what a fantastic affirmation of exactly what we're teaching here. And I said, I got it. I'm like, I'm going to tell Matt. I'm like, I got an interview on Wednesday. I'm telling Matt.
But you're right. But it is that people are afraid to be, in my experience, it seems that people seem afraid to be themselves because they feel like they have to have this, you know, obviously you have to have this professional approach, but just you can tell the people that are at ease with themselves because those are the people that connect. And, you know, connection equals sales, because people buy from people that they like.
Exactly.
And so this must be a very exciting time, because so you've recently launched Magnetic Sales Pro. So are you now, how are you getting the word out? Because you've got 1 billion people to sign up.
Yes, we do. And I mean, thankfully we've got 10 years to do that.
Okay. So you're giving yourself a bit of time. You've obviously learned from the past.
Yeah, I actually learned a lot to not make goals that are going to like make you implode and self-destruct.
But that's a big target. But again, presumably you break that down. So you're, you know, really sort of eating your own dog food, as it were, where you're saying, well, how do we get to 1 billion? And you're breaking it down and you're saying, well, this is our target this week. This is our target next week.
Exactly. And honestly, the numbers become really easy when you break it down to that daily metric. I think it was, well, I mean, a long, long time ago as well, like I was part of lots of different networking groups and business development groups. And I was introduced to, I guess, a pseudo mentor, Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn was very popular for his mentality training and a lot of his audio recordings. And he was mentored by some of the most wealthiest people in the world in North America, more so the United States side, right? Like the Fords of our time and just going way, way back when. Anyhow, Jim Rohn influenced my thinking because he talked about really, you know, doing basically helping enough people get what they want, then you will always get what you want. Right. And then I started thinking, okay, well, I've worked with numbers. I'm half Chinese. I love numbers. I know that. Sorry. I hope that's an appropriate comment to make. I can make fun of myself. You know, it's really, I just said, okay, this doesn't have to be complicated. What is a big thing after all, right? 1 billion. Okay. That's a big number. But what's a big number? A big number is just comprised of lots of little numbers. Okay. So I'm constantly giving myself, and I realize this is actually part of my process in our training, is you have to constantly give yourself reason to be engaged with whatever it is that's setting your heart on fire. Okay. Yes. And you have to eliminate the distractions and eliminate reasons why you can't have what you want. So as soon as I start breaking things down into tangible pieces, right? 1 billion, I can't touch that. I don't understand what 1 billion is. I haven't been across the entire world yet. I'm international, but that's not across every country yet.
Yes.
So I can't actually wrap my hands around 1 billion. I can, however, say 1 billion divided by 10. My time frame's 10 years. What does that equal? All right, great. 10 divided by 12. 10, you know, and then that number. And it just keeps going. You deduce it to the freaking tiniest possible number that you can hold and that you can confidently say, I can do this. I can handle that. And then you wake up the next day and you're like, I can do that. I can handle that, right? And the next thing you know, 10 years goes by and you're like, I hit 1 billion. Holy yes. moly, right? And I've done that with sales. I've done that with even relationships too, right? Because I was recently on the hunt for my husband, which I found, right? My husband to be, I should say. It took me 2 years. And I was like, okay, how many people do I got to date to get to? No, I'm just joking. I'm joking.
Well, listen, if the formula works, you know, it's clearly you found a formula that works in every circumstance. Yes.
Pretty much, right?
Just don't tell him.
You know? Yeah, I won't tell him. I'm like, ooh. Right. But I always say to people, hey, listen, you know, people are different. Yes. The secret sauce. The secret sauce is you. Right? And your brain is the same as everyone else's brain, like the science of it. It's the same as everyone else's brain. So let's just give you the tools of neuroscience, the modern day science that we know today that's going to help you shift effortlessly, more effortlessly than if you were to do it by yourself. And let's give you a guidance and pathway that's going to support your journey, right? That's what our consulting and training company is all about. And we do it for professionals in business environment. All right. It's a no-brainer. And honestly, people are craving it. People are all like corporate professionals are already going to training seminars on their own. They're already buying books and they're already downloading audios. They're already reaching out and finding coaches and mentors for themselves. Right. This is not brand. Like, thankfully, it's not totally brand new and off the cuff. Right. I'm so lucky that I started this whole journey when I was 18.
Yeah.
Technically when I was 8, but I'm so lucky that I started at 18 because a lot of this school of thought that I'm talking about now is far more widely accepted now. If Absolutely. I started this 10 years ago, I would Maybe really right. be up against a huge upward. Yeah, huge. Right? Look at how we met. We met at a conference.
Yeah. No, developing and that was an experts conference like four or five years ago, which was again, right at the very beginning of I think it was, you know, Brendan Burchard's career. So that was one of the, you know, and
that's right. That's yeah. Great. Expert Academy, right? And how blessed I feel to, you know, to be honored to connect with someone like you and build a relationship over 5 years, right? Because we've been following each other now too. And it's the same thing that we're talking about today is because of that magnetism between you and I. So again, another case in point.
Talking of case in points, I have some other questions for you. I think now is a good time to introduce a questionnaire that I have temporarily yet permanently borrowed from James Lipton of the Actors Studio. So.
Well, thank you, Mr. Lipton.
For yes. Your yeah. He doesn't respond to my emails instead. So my first question of this famous questionnaire is, what is your favorite word?
Yes. What is my favorite word? My favorite word is can.
And what is your least favorite word?
Is try. I hate the word try. Try being pregnant. Either you're pregnant or you're not.
In other words, if you say, can you try. Do this? And someone says, yeah, I'll try.
It's like instantaneous, like shudder in my body. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Either I'm going to do it or when are you going to do it? Because there's no trying.
And the third question is, what are you most excited about right now?
Actually, yeah. I mean, because I'm right in the heat of this massive launch, like in Canada for MS Pros, that is massively exciting to me. And really right beside it, because I'm also in a very, very loving relationship with my now partner, that's really exciting to me too. So growing my own family, thinking about family, thinking about that stuff, that's very exciting and also scary. It's like I've birthed businesses before, but now I've got to birth a baby, like a real life human being. Oh my God.
Notice I'm not commenting at all at this point, actually.
I know. It's like.
Yeah, I've learned the hard way. So what turns you off right now?
I'd say what turns me off is really indecisiveness. And there's a certain level of boredom. Like there's a certain kind of boredom that can happen when someone's being indecisive. So sometimes even myself too, because I am taking on something that seems bigger, feels bigger, and it is, you know, respectively different. It is triggering my own fears too. So if I don't make decisions, I start to go into this weird boredom phase, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people understand what I'm talking about if they've been through business building before. It's like a weird, uncomfortable boredom. Not enough to get you fired off into action and not enough to really have you. And it's like, it's just that weird moment. That's a huge turn off. Huge turn off.
I know what you mean. Is that feeling where you don't know to turn left or to turn right or that nowhere's land.
Yes. And then it gets boring because you're like, I don't even know what to do right now. So.
I know. So question number five is, what sound or noise do you love?
The sound of water moving. Or the sound of my lover's voice in this ear.
not that ear. Okay. And what sound or noise do you hate?
Not this one. This one. I hate so there's two sounds because they both kind of occur to me the same way. Whining or beeping. So that annoying whining, can't handle it, don't like it. And then beeping. Beep, beep, beep. Oh.
Like alarm clock beeping or cars hooting their horns or?
I stopped using alarm clocks when I was 19. I have my own internal thing that I've hooked up my unconscious mind to. So I actually can wake up at any time I want. If I need an alarm, it sounds like, it's called Twinkle on my iPhone. And it's like ding, 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 ding. Yeah. So I think no alarm beeps here.
You're not alone there, I think. So now, what is your favorite curse word leading on to that?
I have to think long and hard about that one. It's fuck.
I just wish I'd invented that word and somehow trademarked it because I think that'd be, it's the, you know.
It's so versatile.
You're not alone there. Everywhere. And the next question is, what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Okay. So I love that question. Philanthropy in business or space exploration? And space, I've always been fascinated with, and only until recently with, of course, you know, Tesla and, you know, of course, all these different Richard Branson peeps, all these people that have been like coming out of the woodworks and it's suddenly more possible. That is something that I would attempt it. I would totally attempt it. And I have no idea when or how. I just know that that would be super cool.
And what profession would you not like to attempt?
Toxic waste disposal or any kind of...
Well, obviously, what was the second one? Sorry, the first one really caught me off.
It's like toxic waste disposal, no thanks, or any kind of human surgery. Like, I don't mind working on your mindset. I don't mind working on your physicality or your personality, but like human dissection and like surgery, no blood here. I can't actually, like the real actual blood stuff, no thanks. It's like, ooh.
Wow.
I'm
there, you know. And here's my final question. So the final question is, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I would love for God to say to me, welcome back. How was your trip?
Melissa, thank you so much for being on Hooked on Startups. My last final ultimate question is, how do people get in touch with you? How do they find out about what you've done, what you're doing with Magnetic Sales Pros? How do they get involved? How do they learn and benefit from all these amazing things that you're giving out to them?
Yes, 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 yes. So thank you so much as well. This has been so much fun. We definitely have to do it again soon. MelissaManish.com, MagneticSalesPros.com. So that's Magnetic, MagneticSalesPros.com. MagneticSalesPros.com. Those are the best ways to get quickly connected. And LinkedIn, I'm very, very active on LinkedIn for my professional profile. I'm always giving away a ton of articles, referencing and resourcing people, and of course, different promotional offers and consult VIP work and executive coaching. So you can find out more about me personally and my coaching services from MelissaManish.com. And both of those avenues will allow you to get connected with the TV shows, the books, the network. I'm just really all about it, get connecting with people and offering value. So please, like, I'm excited to learn more and to meet some of these people that are listening right now. I invite you to that.
That's brilliant. Great.
Excellent.
So thank you so much. And, you know, look forward to speaking to you again very soon.
Thank you so much. Such a pleasure.